also want to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's good to be with you on this very lovely Sunday morning, and the rain and everything we drove over in has been great to be out in it. So we praise God for it, and praise God there's been no flooding yet. And so we hope that doesn't happen. Let's pray together. Rise, shine, all you people. Could mean for worship, and it does. Could also mean for us to rise and to shine and to look and see what's going on around us and how we as God's children can affect it and change it by the presence of your Holy Spirit, by giving of food for the hungry, by caring for the sick, by just simply loving each other. Help us in this morning to examine ourselves, to look at whose we are and how we respond. And in our worship experience, let us worship you and you only, O Lord. And in doing that, let us find the power of your Holy Spirit. Now let us worship you with all that we are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing This Little Light of Mine. The words are on page 585.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go,
church I grew up in, we used to say, not going to let Satan blow it out, I'm going to let it shine. Not going to let Satan blow it out, I'm going to let it shine. Not going to let Satan blow it out, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. See, I just
put it under a basket, no.
I think there's 137 verses of that song. Really, but I'm not sure how many they are that we would figure out. But anyway, hope y'all in a good mood, because I am, and I got a lot to preach about this morning. So here we go. We're at page 747, Psalm 15. There is a response with the R's, which that stands for response, believe it or not. So we're going to let them teach that to you, and then we're going to sing it with them. O Lord, who shall abide in your tent? Who shall dwell in your holy hill?
The one who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth from the heart.
Who does not slander with the tongue and does no evil to a friend, nor takes up reproach against a neighbor.
In whose eyes a reproach is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord.
Who does not put out money or interest, and does not take a bribe against the innocent.
The one who does these things shall never be moved.
Justice alone is the way of the Lord. Be just and merciful.
doesn't have it.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Okay, now that I've got people doing all kinds of things they hadn't prepared for, come on, Miss Tabor. I would ask that you would continue in prayer for Jane Butler from the Chevron Church. Had full intent, she did, to be in church this morning and woke up and was unable to speak again. So I don't know what's going on at this moment with that, but just be in prayer for them as they go through this time together. So, and be for him too, because he struggles. Now, knowing Jane, she'll be talking again this afternoon, everything will be fine, but that's where she was at this morning, because she couldn't be at church, so be in prayer for her. Are there any other prayer requests that we have this morning?
JoBelle called me just a few minutes ago. She's had a real bad headache for a couple of days, and she got up and tried to get dressed and started getting nauseated, so she had to go back to bed, so I would like for us to remember JoBelle.
Okay, remember JoBelle. I wonder where she was and why. Yes.
We are going to have a new grandbaby, great grandbaby, February 7th.
New great grandbaby, February 7th. Going to be a boy or a girl? Do
boy,
we know?
James Michael.
James Michael. Did we have a gender reveal, or did they just tell you?
No, they just told
me. Amen. All right, there we go. If you don't know what a gender reveal party is, don't ask. And so, anybody else? Hey, Keith.
My daughter and her husband both have COVID. She got flu as well.
Oh, no.
COVID has been around rapidly amongst a whole bunch of people. So we'll pray for them that COVID and flu get better. Worst things have COVID and flu together. So, amen. Anybody else?
Yes.
My dad, Chris Johnson, has a procedure.
Would you do me a favor?
Yes.
Write down where it's at. He only has me slightly confused where it is. Text me the address. It's on Western Avenue somewhere, but the last time when he told me about it Thursday, I had a feeling it was inside the Home Depot, and I know that's not true. And so help me figure that out, okay? It's right by my house. It's not about 3-4 minutes from my house, but anyway, just if you help me know, I'd appreciate that. Thank you. Anybody? Hey, Miss Nancy.
Norma, I'd like to pray for safe travel for my grandson, Cody. He flew to California, and he's pulling a truck with a big old trailer back with his, helping his dad move out here. And that's a long old haul.
So flew out driving in a U-Haul.
Yeah.
So there's two prayers, one for his safe journey and one for the U-Haul to continue to run. sorry, U-Haul people. So anybody else? We would pray the same. Our daughter Cindy is driving back today from Florida, bringing her stuff back to her home in Trenton, Georgia, that she's moving into today and tomorrow. So help her in that journey as she goes through this time in her life. Anybody else? Let's pray together. The altar's open if you want to come pray with us. Time of silent prayer to begin our time of prayer together. Oh Lord, we hear the sound of the rain that is falling. And we, your children, are tired of rain. And yet, sometime in July or August, when it hasn't rained for 3 weeks and it's 98 degrees, we're all going to be complaining that it's too dry. You give to us as we need, and sometimes it feels like it's too much. But we ask, O Lord, that in your wisdom, you give us the exact amount that we need to replenish our land, to move us from what used to be a drought into a time of water tables being full and everything being prepared for that summer that could be dry. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us in it and that you would give us the ability to be at peace. Same thing as we go into this next week, with surgeries that happen tomorrow, that healing would come from that surgery. With trips that are in process right now, driving U-Hauls and trying to get back to the place of home, that everything will be moved and in place. Safe journey through the weather from all those different lands, that the country, states that they travel across. Just bless them in that journey and keep them safe and keep everything running well. For babies that are to be born, the joy of grandbabies and then great-grandbabies, the joy of health and strength, the joy of healthy birth and healthy mother, be with them and give them a strength that only you can. We ask, O Lord, that you would be with family as family struggles to go through life, that you would bless them and keep them safe and keep them well in that struggle. For those who struggle with COVID and with flu, be with them to be healed. Keep their symptoms less and less each day, and let power and strength come from them, that we will know that you are with them because you are. And for other requests that have been given and those that were silent, bless in them and keep everyone safe and healthy. Let us hear the answer of your prayer in our thoughts and in our vision. And let us do what Christians should do. Give thanks before it happens, because we believe in your answer even before it's seen. Because faith says we give you thanks before it's seen. And we find the joy in the struggle and in the care. Now bless us this day. And in the blessing, let us pray the prayer you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing There's a Spirit in the Air, page 192. Love that Christ revealed, living.
right. God in Christ has come to stay. Live tomorrow's life today. When a stranger's not alone, when the homeless fall down, praise the love that Christ revealed. Living, working in her world. May the Spirit fill her praise, guide her thoughts and change her ways. God in Christ has come to stay. Live to
Let us pray together. And now the power of the one who gives us everlasting life, allow us to have a hope and a strength that only you can give. And in it, let us give back to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I don't know if y'all noticed that quick change or battery change I did a minute ago. Battery was running dead, and Keith was nice enough to send me batteries down. And while y'all, while we played for the offering, we changed batteries out. If y'all know how clumsy I am, that's quite the feat for me. All right, we're in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to begin with verse 1. We're scheduled to read through verse 12. We will see how that works. We're going to not read it all at once. We're going to work through it. And I have a task for all of y'all. I want all of y'all to prepare for this task. I need you, as we walk through this scripture, to figure out which one of the people that is talked about in these verses you are. You have to be at least one of them. You can be more. But if you are a person who has accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, or you have a belief in Jesus, as the ones who listened to this the first time, that he was the Messiah, and he is speaking directly to them and now directly to us, you will be one of these people at least. So let us pray together and begin walking through this scripture. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We ask you, Lord, to bless us in the day. Bless us in the morning. Bless us as we serve you. Honor us with all that you are. But let us first honor you with all that we are. And let us hear the words of God from the Holy Book, knowing that there are many more words of God that were not printed in this book because the world would not hold them. And knowing that you are still speaking today, let us hear your words. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So let me tell you where we are in this text. We're in Matthew 5, verse 1. This is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. This is the blessings or the Beatitudes. One of the more modern verses, say, call it the thank yous. It is the beginning of this sermon that sets it up. And Jesus, like a great evangelist. You ever been to a revival that lasted 5 nights? If you ever have, a good evangelist on the first night of the revival sets up the rest of the week. He gets you into the sermons, and if that pastor, that preacher, knows what they're doing, they just don't preach 5 or 6 separate sermons. They preach a sermon that leads to a sermon that leads to a sermon that builds on itself, so that as the week goes on, you're caught into what that preacher wants you to be caught into and follow. Well, Jesus is doing that here on the Sermon on the Mount. He is setting up the Sermon on the Mount. But he does that by talking about blessings. But he does it to certain people. So here is the opening, verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And I think we've got this messed up a little bit here. You'll notice in the Old Testament and in the Gospels, the person that's teaching sits down, and everybody else stands up and listens. So the reality is, I ought to be sitting in the chair, and you ought to be standing. Amen? I didn't hear any amens out there. I mean, that's how it ought to work. And so, because Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's activity. You're involved in the game. You're involved in the action. You're part of the story. You are, whether you think of yourself this way or not, you are history in the making. Because the history of your life is part of the history of the world that changes the people around you. You are, at this very moment, writing and making history. Now, whether you are somebody that's going to be remembered for the next 2,000 years or will not be remembered 30 seconds after you're gone, you are right in making history. Now, let me share with you, you'll be remembered more than 30 seconds after you're gone because people will miss you. So you're in the midst of that, and Jesus, knowing that, tells you about yourself, tells them about themselves as he speaks. He began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now let's discuss this a little bit. If you read Luke, by the way, the people who are in Luke, and they've been through this already some, if you read Luke, Luke's version of this is the Sermon on the Plain. And the Sermon on the Plain has different understandings of things, slightly shorter, has a few different topics, but it also has the Beatitudes. And Luke's version of this is said, "Blessed are the poor." It's talking about a financial poor. It's talking about a poor in many different other ways. This is a different conversation. Notice what happens. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So what is poor in spirit? If you think through this, when we hear the word poor in spirit, what comes to your mind? A person who has little spirit, a person that struggles to know that God's there, a person that we get all these things that we think of poor meaning lack thereof, right? Well, as you read this, the one thing you're going to begin to understand is this is actually a compliment. Poor in spirit. Because the reward is what? The kingdom of heaven. Now, how can somebody who's bad at something receive the kingdom? Here's the key. If you're poor in spirit, what you've learned is you can't do this without God. Your spirit is not strong enough to overcome without God's spirit guiding and leading you. You don't get to heaven. You don't get to see God face to face, which we'll talk about a little bit later. You don't get any of those things unless you learn to set yourself aside, let God come in and be the leader, the guide of who you are, the one who directs you in life, the one that takes you forward in life, and you learn that the Master is God and the Holy Spirit is the one that guides you. Hence, the Comforter and the Guide is in charge, and we are poor in spirit. We don't have the ability to do it ourselves. Hence, we have to let God lead us and guide us. Because what happens when we do it ourselves? How does it turn out usually? Think about it. Y'all all know the following person I'm about to talk about. I'm not asking for names. Some of y'all may be in the room. I don't know. But there's always a person who knows it all. You've been with that person. They may have graduated the second grade, but if a PhD in physics comes and begins to tell them about something, they will know it better than the person that's got the PhD in physics. They understand it better. They comprehend it better. And any conversation you have, they know better what to do than you know. Amen? You know those people? They are not poor in spirit. They're proud of themselves. Some of those people, I hate to say, belong in the clergy. We believe in many ways that we know better than you, So we get to tell you how you're supposed to act and what you're supposed to do. Y'all have never had a pastor that knew better than you, amen? You never had one that directed you in a way that you thought was absolutely wrong, but they knew better. See, I've always thought my job was to protect the sheep. My job was to lead people to know Christ as Savior. My job was to give you information and believe, and I still believe this, that God gave you a brain at least as good as mine, if not better. And that you know how to choose, but my place is to show you direction so you'll know what you're choosing from. Do you choose to be the one that knows everything? Or do you choose to be the one that's poor in spirit and let God know and God lead and God direct so you can get in the kingdom of heaven? All right, that's just the first verse in this of the Beatitudes themselves. Look at the second, this is verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Mourning is a hard thing, isn't it? We don't do it well. And we all know folk who walk through life after a tragedy or after something that's harmed them, and they have never mourned it and let it go so they could be comforted. They carry the burden of what happened with them instead of releasing it and letting it go. And so they walk through life mourning and holding on to something. And it's never let go. We also know people who let it go and pick it back up. They go on for a while and they find themselves happy. They even question why they could be that happy with something that bad happened in the past. And so what do? They pick it back up so they can feel miserable again because they have learned to enjoy feeling miserable. You know people, and maybe some of y'all are here, that enjoy misery better than they do happiness. Because you all know the statement, right? Misery loves company. Why in the world would somebody enjoy misery more? Well, you've never seen anybody walk around with this on their face, have you? How are you doing? I'm okay. Kind of like my daughter when she wakes up in the morning. Okay. She gets better as the day goes along. Think of the process. We don't learn to let God have things. We continue to take them back. And so we're never freed. We never get to be out of the pain of it. According to the text, those who learn how to mourn, those who mourn will be comforted. How long have you went through time and not been comforted on something because you won't let it go? You know, sometimes we get just like the people in Revelation who are under the altar of God. And they're waiting for God to return and get rid of certain things and punish certain people. And we say, how long, O Lord, how long? Well, they're justifiably waiting for the end to come so they can get their reward. I wonder what we think we're waiting on reward-wise by mourning. You have to learn to let it go so comfort will enter you. Keep going. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, don't take meek and weak in the same words. If you want to take any other word to go with this, take humble. Blessed is the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Being meek or humble is not a trait that we grow up with people teaching us how to be. We grow up with a totally different mindset of things. We got to charge forward. We got to run towards it. We got to accomplish the goal. We got to, you know, poor Grace was in the car with me the other day, and every now and then I slip and listen to the Oldies channel. I know that preachers shouldn't do that, but I do every now and then, and I was listening to the 60s, and Mac Davis came up. Stop and smell the roses. Now, if you remember that song, you remember those words. Stop and smell the roses. He had it right. We don't slow down. We don't learn how to have that humbleness to just enjoy. We don't know what it means to find what we need to find. And I want you to look at it carefully. Those who are meek, what do they inherit? They inherit the earth. So we've got the poor inheriting or having the kingdom of heaven. The meek are inheriting the earth. Now, I don't know about you, and maybe I'm wrong here, and God will tell me I'm wrong. But how many of y'all really want to inherit this mess? I mean, really? What have we done to this place? How many want to inherit? I'd rather inherit what Revelation calls the new heaven and the new earth. But what this does say to you, if you take this to understand it fully, that those who inherit the earth will have an earth to live in that's worth living in and having. Which means when the new heaven, new earth comes, people won't be residing just in heaven. Guess where else they'll reside? On the new earth. In the garden, the way it was supposed to be when it was created, without sin. The meek, the humble. Blessed are those, verse 6, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. What's righteous? The Wednesday night Bible study, folk, I've asked them the question that I've asked them to ponder. And the question is, what is sin? Is it the same for all of us? I define sin, where we are right now in the Bible study. Bible study folk don't think I'm finished defining sin. But I've defined sin at the moment, and whatever removes us or takes us away from God is sin. That's a definition for sin. Well, if we could define sin and try to look at what that is, how do you define righteousness? Now, as far as I know, and y'all may tell me I'm totally wrong on this, but as far as I know, there was only one righteous person, and his name was Jesus. What happened to him? They crucified him. Righteousness. What is right? Because we're supposed to hunger and thirst for it. We're supposed to hunger and thirst for what is righteous. What is right in our world. What is right in God's kingdom. We're supposed to seek the righteousness of the one that died on the cross. To live a life the way he lived it. To find a way to be about our work that way. We're supposed to seek that righteousness. And every ounce of our being try to follow through and find that righteousness and live that way. But guess what? If you do that, even if you fail at it, because it doesn't say you reach it, it says you hunger and thirst for it. Wesley called this seeking perfection. You seek it. You try to reach it. You want to find it. Every ounce of you goes after it. You may or may not find it. Pastors, when we go through our ordination, are asked, we expect to reach perfection in this lifetime. The pastors today just say, yes. All those 100 years ago when I came through, we had to say, we do so expect to reach perfection in this lifetime. And every one of us are going, please don't strike us with lightning as we say it. But I would say to you that you can reach perfection in this lifetime. I didn't say you could maintain it. I said you could reach it. There are perfect moments. There are moments when you've held somebody that you loved, and those moments lasted for hours, even though it may only have been minutes. There are moments that you've held that newborn baby and you've looked down at him or her. And for those few moments, which last for you all your life because you remember those moments, that you have held that baby and you have felt the power of love towards that child even though they were just born. There are perfect moments that are beyond what we think of as perfect. They are all there and they're part of us. And if we seek them, we're going to be filled by God's Spirit. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Okay, I want to be honest with you this morning. I'm never going to reach this one. I want to. But I'm the person that you got to show me. They say I should have been born in Missouri, the show me state, because you got to show me. You know, my sweet wife sees the goodness in you from the moment she walks in the room with you. She takes you at goodness in totality, no matter what. I do not do that. I'm going to accept you for who you are, but you got to prove to me who you are. I want you to show me. Now, who's got it right? She does. But I wasn't made that way. God didn't stitch me together that way. I just, when he's created me in my mother's womb, he said, I'm going to take that mercy part out and let him struggle for it a while. I want it. I'm hoping it works like righteousness does. Didn't say that. So my guess is when we get to heaven, I don't know how this works either, Mary Lynn's going to get a bucket of mercy and I'm going to get a thimble. It's probably how it's going to turn out, however that happens. But if you walk through that, there are people who are simply merciful, are they not? And you can't come up here if you don't give me five. Thank you. And so think of the process. Think of this. That's perfection, by the way, in case you don't know it. If you missed that, you missed it. What's the process of this? Being able to be merciful when no one else can. Being able to love somebody when no one else can love them. Being able to care for somebody when they've ran everybody else off. You can define mercy in many ways, but understand, if you're merciful, you'll receive mercy. Which one of these people are you so far? We've got two more to go, or three more to go. Blessed are the pure in heart. Notice what they get. They will see God. Now remember, God's teaching them through Jesus Christ on the mountaintop. Think of the process of that. Pure in heart. I hate to say it, but most pastors, if they've pastored long enough, pretty well have lost their pure in heartness. We get jaded. We get lied to. We get told that we said something we didn't. We get set aside in ways that we shouldn't be set aside. We get complained about. Most pastors long for somebody to say it was good in the midst of people saying it was bad. We lose the pure in heartness if we're not careful. We lose the ability to seek that pureness in heart because the church and the world beat you up. You know, there's a recent survey out that says that over 85% of all pastors have been beat up so bad they thought about leaving ministry at some time in their life. Happens to you too, though. Your own family beats you up. Your own friends beat you up. People around you that you thought really cared about you give you a hard time. And your heart, if you don't guard it, if you don't read scriptures and spend time in prayer, your heart loses a tenderness that can only come from God. You lose that. It happens in life. It happens by the normality of who we are. But you watch the pure in heart. If you guard it, if you work for it, if you see that pureness in that person, guess what they'll do? They'll get to see God. They'll get to have God face to face. And notice what it doesn't say. Real quick, what it doesn't say. It doesn't say you have to wait till you go to heaven. It says you'll see God. It's very clear. It's straightforward. Those are pure in heart. Two more. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. The world needs more peacemakers, don't they? We just need peacemakers. We need people who are willing to take peace as the central goal of who they are, and to love peace, to care about peace. Just think how much better the world would be with peacemakers being leading the kingdom instead of others. Peace is something we seek, but not enough. Well, I want you to notice what these folks do. The peacemakers are called what? Children of God. Have you watched this? Kingdom of heaven will be comforted, inherit the earth, field, receive mercy, see God, called children of God. Watch how it unfolds. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not persecuted, but remember, for righteousness' sake. Sixth verse, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Tenth verse, persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now the rest of it reads this way, and then we'll finish, but I want you to keep thinking, who are you? Verse 11, blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Remember righteousness' sake? Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You should not seek to be persecuted just to say you were. Some people like to be persecuted. Don't just ask me how or why. I don't know. But you all know the martyr in your family that wants to be persecuted and blamed for everything. You know that person, don't you? They're all there. But what I want you to go back to and ask yourself the question, which one of the people we read about are you? You're one of them. You may not know it, and you may not want to admit it. But you're one of them. You are part of that group. You are one of those people. It's you, us. We're all together in it. Think about it. Who are you in the Beatitudes? And if you don't know, I would suggest you begin with hungering and thirsting for righteousness. You will find out. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Sometimes, oh Lord, it's easier to figure out who we aren't than it is to figure out who we are. Sometimes it's easier to just say, I'm none of those. But the reality is we are. You teach us so we can find out who we are. Just as you taught the ones on the mountainside so they would find out who they are and be able to follow God. Maybe we're all these. I don't see how that would be possible, but maybe we are. Whoever we are, let us be that person and not be ashamed that God has made us that person. And we offer the words that have been said and all that's been sung and everything that's been done in this service in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. May God lead us to pray and seek who we are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand and turn to hymn number 396, O Jesus, I Have Promised.
thank you for being here today. We'll stop there to save Terry's back, if for no other reason. And so it is a joy to be with you. I want you to think about who you are. Think about yourself in the Beatitudes. Be honest with yourself and accept what that answer is. And in that, let us go forth in peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who gives us life and life everlasting, may God's love overwhelm us as we go through this week. We offer all that we are to you, O Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.